days. Pastor Rick, glad you're with us today. On Demand, one of my favorite places to be because the Word of God is in your hand. You get to eat it when you want to. And I hope you are ready for a good meal today. We're going to talk about doing today. There's a verse in the Bible in Matthew 7 that says, ask, seek, and knock. There's something about you taking initiative and taking charge of your life and being all in. The series we're in now is called All In. And if you cannot be, listen carefully, you cannot be all in if you're not willing to ask, seek, and knock. It's a great study. You don't want to miss this. So stay right there. It's going to be great. Get your Bible open to Matthew chapter 7 and get ready for a great journey. I'll be back to pray for you at the end. Stay right there. Hey, it's Pastor Rick. Glad to be back. Listen, let's jump into this. Matthew chapter 7. I want to talk to you today about this theme we've been in all month. It's called All In. It's an incredible theme that I like a lot. And the imagery I want you to see in our graphic paints the picture that this is about being totally committed, can't back out, you're all in, you're fully there, and I want you to be a fully engaged person, fully engaged. And the Bible says three things in Matthew chapter 7 that really speak to this whole issue. Let me read it for you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, what's really powerful about this is a strong text. It has a lot of powerful messages in it. And all month long, I've been trying to get you to think of the theme, which is all in and not partially in. A lot of times in life, I think people are half committed. And I've watched that, and I think sometimes one of the reasons you're not blessed is because people outwork you. You really have to be a person who is fully engaged in order to have certain things in your life. And you can have some things in your life being, you know, half in, but most of the things that are really significant come with a full engagement. Academic, if you're going to go to school, you got to be all in. All in, I'm a student, this is what I do. I study 3-4 hours a day. This is what I do. I work in 30-minute segments. I study 30 minutes, study, take a break, 30 minutes, then another 30 minutes, but I'm committed. If you're an athlete, same thing. You know, when you, my younger days when I was very sport-oriented, running 3-4 miles a day was important, making sure I stayed healthy was important, lifting weights, stretching, all that. Because if I wanted to be effective in my art, I had to practice the art, I had to do homework. And a lot of people that aren't like that. I tried that in my marriage. I tried to, you know, make sure that there are certain days that are Diane days, I call them. There are certain spots I have for myself. To rest, sleep, all those things are important. And I'm all in those things, whatever they are, my kids, all in. And so my question for you is, are you all in? And so in our first sermon, we talked to you about being all in your thinking. And I talked about the power. I love this. We had two sermons, the power, the positive power of desperation. And I showed you two stories of two people that were desperate and how those two people demonstrate what it takes to be successful. They were all in because they were under crisis, both of them. Then we talked about checked out thinking, how sometimes in life, if you're not careful, you check out. We talked about all in thinking, being totally committed. Then we talked about checked out thinking. When things don't go right, if you're not careful, you check out. And remember, matter of fact, let me back up the train just a little bit, make sure you're following me. Every year I answer one big question, right? And so this question this year is, how do you protect your future? And I said to you, the way you protect your future is by improving your thinking. And the way you improve your thinking is by being, here you go, ready, all in. You got to be all in. You got to be all in, totally committed, can't be backing out. Then I said, you got to make sure you're not checking out. If you check out in your thinking because things don't go right. And we talked about a guy named Jairus whose daughter had gone through a horrible experience. And now the temptation for him would have been to check out and say, I'm no longer here. I'm not engaged. I'm not going to worry about this. It's over. But he didn't check out. Because he didn't check out, he ended up having a great miracle. Sometimes you are one step away from a miracle, but you check out. Check out before you pass the class. Check out before you get that new job. You check out before the marriage can work. If you're not careful, your thinking is always about checking out, trying to get out of something. So all in, check it out thinking. Then now today, we're going to talk about let's go thinking. Let's go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 is a verse that implies you need to be a let's go person. Because of the way that this text is framed, it really inspires me. And I want to talk about three paralyzing questions that oftentimes I think stop people from going forward. Three things that people often think. Now, I read you the verse, Matthew 7. Let me read it again. Asking it will be given to you. Seeking you shall find. Knocking the door shall be opened to you. Everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, the door is open. It's a profoundly prophetic promise. If you have the courage to ask, if you have the courage to seek, if you have the courage to knock, if you are all in, phenomenal things can happen in your life. That's what it says. Phenomenal things can take place. Now I want to say this. I want you to hear me. This is about you deciding you want to do these three things. But I want to say there are three things that can happen, three paralyzing questions that can stop that from happening. Number one, how much should I ask God for? Well, I don't know if I should ask God for all of that. So you have this thing in your head that makes you say, I don't know about asking for that much. You have a limit on what you're going to ask for. So how much should I ask God for is the question that can slow you down. Number two, how much should I seek for in life? Should I seek those things? You know, should I seek to go overseas? Should I seek? How far can I seek? Thirdly, how many doors should I knock on? I don't want to harass people. Every time you look around, there I come, you know, knocking, seeking, asking, looking. I think there is a tremendous temptation to avoid being irritating, persistent, being perceived as overly eager, and that fear can hinder your ability to achieve amazing goals and amazing things in life. Jesus is addressing a group of people and telling them that they should always ask. And the way he does it in the language is really powerful, because there's a little bit of a Greek lesson about you're about to have. Ready? Ready? Just follow me carefully. I won't confuse you. The Bible in New Testament is written in Greek and the Old Testament in Hebrew. There's some Aramaic in there, but the Greek is a very specific language. And I don't appear to be a Greek scholar, but I have a little bit of knowledge. And I'll share this with you for a minute. And I put this in the notes so that you can kind of read it again if you don't quite follow me along. Jesus, when he said, ask, seek, and knock, in the grammar, in the Greek grammar, he speaks in the what they call the imperative mood. It's important, imperative mood. This is imperative, not the subjective mood, which is, you know, he might do it, you might not do it. It's like a possibility kind of thing. So oftentimes in Greek, what happened is you'll learn the tense, you know, when it's done, you know, and then you'll learn, you know, the mood with which the action's being done. That's why it calls the mood, right? So you have the tense and you have the mood. So the tense is present tense. He's telling them, I want you guys to right now ask. I want you guys right now to seek. I want you guys right now to knock. I want you to do it right now. And I want you to actively do it. I want you to do it. Nobody's going to do it to you. I want you to do it yourself. Nobody's going to push you. This isn't passive. This is active. You are actively asking, seeking, and knocking. You are. You're involved in the action. Present active. And it's an imperative. So it's called a present active imperative in the Greek. Ready? See? Little Greek lesson. So it's not something that I'm saying you might do. I'm saying do it. So watch this. This is important. The important imperative mood is used to describe, watch this now, commands. It's a command. It's not something you might do. For a person, for example, if you're looking at in a sentence, you know, it's always a great way to describe it, right? In the imperative mood, that implies that you are going to go and do something. So if I said, I want you to go to the mall, that's imperative. I want you to go to the mall. If I want you to go to the mall, I mean, go to the mall. That's imperative, right? If I say, if you want to go, if you kind of want to go, you might go, then that's subjective. It's not. I'm not saying you have to go. So if I go to the mall compared to the imperative would say go to the mall, there's a difference. I hope you see the difference. Some people spend all their life possibly going to the mall, possibly starting their ministry, possibly Possibly. That's subjective. It's kind of like, maybe, maybe not. That's not how this is said. He didn't say, hey, if you, you know, you might ask and you might seek and you might knock and you might. He didn't say that. He said, I want you to ask. It's an imperative. Now, I want you to seek now. This is not subjective. This is not a possibility you might or might not do better. I want you to do better. Be strong, be courageous. You've heard that before, right? In the Old Testament. Be strong, be courageous. This is about you doing something. Now, not later. Don't mean to yell, but you get the point. This is strong. This is the kind of stuff that can change your life because you get it. You've been talking forever. Gonna get in shape. I'm going to sleep better. I don't know what you've been saying. I love the way that he says this, and I love the fact that the grammar pushes you forward. I'm telling you, I want you to ask me for something. I'm telling you, I want you to seek something. I'm telling you, I want you to knock on some doors. I want you to do it. Don't wait, don't be praying, asking me to do it. I'm not doing it. I'm telling you to do it. This is your life. You do it. If you don't do it, then it's you. It's imperative. Present, active, that means you're involved in the action. Imperative. Enough Greek. Well, here's a question you might ask me. Pastor Rick, how long did it take you to get to going? Got that? Well, here you go. Well, to be honest, you know, I was always pretty engaged, but if I were to put a date on it, I'd say college really kind of launched me out in the street. It pushed me forward. The best thing I ever did for me was go to college. Now, that's me. Now, I know some of you may have a different story, but that's my story. It was where I learned my potential. I didn't read much before college. I read a lot in high school. I started reading the Bible. I came to Christ at 14-ish. Really got serious in my walk and understood more of my walk because I was an unchurched person. Didn't really go to church until I was like 15. And so really 15 and a half, to be honest. And it wasn't until, let me see, get that right, 15 and a half. Yeah, 15. Boy, you just, wow. Yeah. Ooh, wow. Amazing. So, yeah, about 15 and a half. Let's get around there. But that's when I really started going to church, started reading the Bible. But I really, when I got to college, I was forced to study at a level I hadn't studied before. I was forced to do a lot of things I hadn't done before. And I changed. And my entire life began to be different. And I began to ask more, seek more, and knock on more doors. I began to have dreams and ambitions. I got around people that had ambitions and dreams. I'm a big believer that you will not ask for a lot of things if you're not around the right people, which I'll get to in a minute. So I struggled, though, to ask because I had a little struggle because I felt that, like those three questions I mentioned earlier, I was being greedy. Somehow asking was felt wrong. It felt like I was just not being thankful or something. I was told that asking should be limited, that I shouldn't ask for anything big, like $1 million. $100, you know, but not $1 million. I also thought that asking too much meant you were ungrateful. For some reason, that was in my head. You know, just be thankful. Don't be like those people always want to be big. Don't dream to be a big shot. You know, just be humble. And somehow we equate humility with small. Humility with a, you know, small car. You can't have a nice car. You can't have a nice house. You can't. All that's a sign of pride, arrogance, and money will change you. You don't need money. You just need to be faithful. And so what happens is you stop asking. You stop seeking, you stop knocking, you stop dreaming, and you become a person who basically coasts through life. What in your life has you passionately hungry? I'm telling you, until you get to that place, nothing's going to change. I love this book, and it's a wonderful book, and it's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. It's a really, really good book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And one of the laws of leadership is called the law of the lid, L-I-D, the lid. I want to read it for you. It's a great law. And he says this, leadership, ability is the lid that determines a person's level of effectiveness. The lower an individual's ability to lead, the lower the lid of his potential, on his potential. Let me read it with you one more time. Hear carefully. He says, the lower an individual's ability to lead, the lower the lid on his potential. So if you can think of it this way, this is you, right? And this is the lid of the people around you, the things you're exposed to. The lower that lid, the lower your ambitions, the lower your dream, the lower your potential. The higher the lid, the higher your potentials. Sometimes, if you're not careful like me, you're in environments that keep you limited. Limited in your thinking, limited in your asking, limited in your seeking, limited in your knocking. You think that you can't have certain things. And I don't want to get too locked into dollar amounts because it's not just about that, even though it can be about that. But if you are around people who have very low vision, very little vision, they see very small as very big. And that's how you think. So you'll never be able to do certain things because you're around those people. They become a lid to you. Because of, I love that book, The Law of the Lid. First thing he talks about, 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. You need to understand that some of you are limited because you are around people that force that on you. When I began to ask for more, and I began to knock on more doors, and I began to seek more, more things happened for me. But I had to, in order for that to happen, certain fundamental changes had to take place in my life. Number one, my rituals and routines had to change. They had to improve. You're never going to have certain things happen for you. You're never going to be able to have certain opportunities. You can ask, seek, knock all you want, but if your rituals and routines are not where they should be, you're never going to get there. So, for example, if you're a student, you don't study, because you have this bad study ritual habit, you're never going to ever do well. I don't care how much you desire to pray for it. So also, I had to work on my focus. Sometimes my focus, I was in too many directions. You know, one of the things I say when I get up in the morning is, before I cut the TV on, especially, one of my little rules, what do you want to think about today, Temple? Do you want to sit here and watch the news and be scared of the boogeyman? Because the boogeyman's going to get you. Oh, boy, this person might win the election. Oh, boy, it's going to fall apart. Everything's going to, and you start your day every day. Go to bed every night afraid of the boogeyman. You're against the news, Temple? No, I'm not against the news. I love the news. I think it's great. I'm a news hound. But I've learned to control what I put in my spirit and what I think about. I'm seeking and asking and knocking on doors that will take me higher in my life. So I'm trying to develop rituals and routines and thinking patterns that will help me get there. I don't get there by being worried, nervous. I'm sorry, I get that out right. Nervous. Also reviewed my personal life and leadership vision for the future. If I want to make sure that I get to the next place in my life, I sit down and I write notes and I review them. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to accomplish. Here's how I want to accomplish it. And I'm amazed that when I write things down, I'm amazed that I get more accomplished and I focus better. My rituals and routines get me to where I'm trying to go. And for a lot of us, I think there is an incredible tendency to just talk and never move. So the whole conversation this morning is about this for you, or whenever you're watching this. Maybe you're at night, day, I don't know where you're watching it, but listen to me carefully. If you're not careful, you'll just talk all your life. What do you want to be? And you'll say all these things, but you're not willing to really knock on the doors that will get you there. You will not ask the right questions. You will not seek it enough to get there. And then here's what happens. I've seen this all the time. You get depressed, feel bad. Oh, boy, my life ain't what I wanted to be. And oh, boy, but you didn't give God anything to work with. You're asking God to bless you, but you didn't give God anything to work with. You want good health, but you won't exercise. You want good health, but you won't try to eat right. Try, at least try. You know, you won't stretch. You won't do anything. You won't walk around your bedroom. Look, you won't even walk around your bedroom. Go walk around the dinner table. You're there all the time. You got plenty. You know where that is. Walk around it. It's exercise. It's five times around. This may be seven times around. I mean, why are you not trying? See, it's easy to say God didn't do this. You want a good marriage. You want God to do this, but you're not trying. You're not trying to repent. You're not trying to hear the other side. You only want to hear your side. See, if you're not careful, everything in life is somebody else's fault. Everything in life, somebody else didn't do something for you. It's so easy, believe me, to feel sorry for yourself. It's so easy, but that's not the imperative that he gave us. Present, active, imperative. I want you right now, presently, he says, to get up yourself and actively participate in asking for something. That's what I want to leave you with. And until you do that, you can pray all day, you can quote the Bible, you can speak in tongues, you can dance all over the church. But until you get up and you start asking, until you start seeking, until you start knocking, until your family decides you're going to do better, until your church decides, until the members of your congregation get past all these little foolish arguments and get on with the work of God, get on with doing something great, as long as you do this, you'll never get anywhere. And it won't be God's fault. It won't be God's fault. Because what you have going on is something called unstable thinking, which I'll talk about next week. You know, I've seen people, they're here 1 minute, they're there the next minute. They're up and they're down. They're almost always to the ground. One day they're excited, next day they're not. As long as you're unstable and you're thinking and you're not focused, God will never be able to get you where you need to be. And so I want you to think about this today. Remember, how do you protect your future? Improve your thinking. How do you improve your thinking? You improve your thinking by being all in and being committed to the right way of thinking and saying to yourself, Pastor Rick, I heard you today. These 21 minutes have been helpful to me. I get it, Pastor Rick. I'm clear. See, don't take all day if you heard a message. You can just apply it right now. I want you to let me pray for you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your hand would be upon us today, that your spirit would bring grace and healing and victory. I ask you, Lord God, to help us to see what you see. Help us to hear what you hear. I pray, God, that your spirit would bring deliverance to our families and to our lives. Next week, we're going to talk about how people were unstable. They started happy with Jesus, and then the next time you know, they want to crucify Jesus. Help us today to not be like that. Help us to learn from our moments of frustration and rise to a place of stability and grace. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray for those who don't know you as Savior. They've never made their commitment to God. May this be that moment of change and transfer. May your hand be on them today to receive your best. And I give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I pray you were blessed by that today, and I hope you get the message, you know, that little Greek lesson I gave you about the imperative that you need to learn how to be presently active, engaging in and directing your life toward action, not just talking. I want to pray for you today because it's time for you to not just talk about it, but to be all in, be fully committed. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray what we've talked about today lifted their hearts and their minds, and may they feel that imperative challenge to get going and to do something, not just think about it and talk about it, but to really put it into action. And so we thank you, Father. They're going to give you something to work with. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with me for these few minutes. I hope you were blessed. If it blessed you, link it and send it to a friend. I'll see you next time as we continue our study. I have more to talk about. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.